Have you ever watched an apocalyptic sci-fi movie and wondered, could any of this really happen? I'm Carrie Bechet, and on Hypothetical, we explore what-if questions two ways, through speculative science fiction and through insight from the world's most brilliant scientists. And spoiler alert, your favorite sci-fi movies aren't nearly as far-fetched as you may think. Time travel with me into our possible futures on Hypothetical. New episodes every Tuesday, available on all podcast apps. That's Hypothetical, Hyperthetical.
To Fireteam Chat, IGN's Destiny show. Thank you so much for joining us. Joining me today in their homes is Brian Malkowitz.
GT.
And Travis Northup. Travis, how's it going?
McClunky.
on today's show, obviously, we have a ton of patch notes to go over. We're going to talk about everything that was released in the TWAB. We were going to talk about Gambit originally, but I think there's a lot that we can go over in the run of show today about trials, how Bungie has been communicating their fixes, and talk about Bungie's strategy with hackers versus people that utilize in-game things for a advantage, like raffle stomping ribbon, for an example. So let's get started. Travis, I'm going to throw it over to you. What were your big takeaways from the trials fixes and the trials communication, just generally speaking, that are going to be happening in Destiny?
Yeah, well, they addressed the big three that we talked about last week. Actually, I don't know if we talked about cheaters a whole lot. I didn't run into that a whole bunch. But the two big ones for me were the reward system, which kind of rewards people for playing the first few matches of a Trials card and not doing anything past that, resetting their card just to get tokens, which is an issue. And then also the connection issues, which I personally encountered quite a bit, both on Xbox and on PC, and you know, got beavered and it ruined my cards on more than one occasion. So very glad that they're addressing that. And then the final thing was cheaters, which again, I haven't run into. I don't know if you guys have at all, but apparently it's a thing. And you hate to see that. So it's good that they're getting on top of that.
Brian, you definitely have been playing Trials. Have you run into any cheaters or anything?
I have been playing absolutely no Trials. I played the first week, went flawless, and then that's about it.
Really?
Yeah, for sure. Like, it's just that there's, like, I mean, Bungie's recognizing it. There's a lack of incentive to play and go flawless, and I have zero interest in grinding the first few games of Trials just to get tokens, to get the armor and the weapons that really, if I boils down to it, I don't care about. That's why I just haven't been playing Trials at all.
Yeah, for me, I have been playing every week. I've gone flawless. I went with Alan and Tay. I went with Alan and Teddy. And those are the crews that I've been running with pretty regularly. I have a lot of fun in Trials. I don't think we've encountered any hackers, like nothing that was blatantly obvious at least. And I've been very grateful for that. Now, are there hackers out there? Yeah, obviously. I've seen some of the clips from like MTash and, you know, just any streamer who's been doing trials regularly. They run into them pretty consistently. And I think the narrative around trials is don't even try and do it. There's hackers everywhere, and that's how the community is sort of feeling. But I've played for 4 weeks. We haven't run into a situation yet, thankfully, knock on wood, right, that we don't. And I hope that most of the community is experiencing that, because Trials is really, really fun for the most part when it's working as intended. And I was really happy to see that Bungie is going to be addressing some of that stuff.
Yeah, I think something else they talked about was the reward system, which right now, getting the final chest isn't really that big of a deal. I mean, you get a piece of armor, but you kind of get it early, right? Because they're putting the armor on 7-win completion tickets where you don't even have to go flawless. And there's no, you know, particularly higher stat rolls on the armor that spawns from the flawless chest. There's no special weapons, or really it's just the emblem that you get the first time you go, and then after that you get the armor, and you seem to get it just a little bit earlier than people that are just completing tickets and not necessarily going flawless. And I think that's kind of the biggest problem right now, is that there's not really like Brian said, like he's a PvE player who's not incentivized at all to play trials, just because there's not really anything in it for him.
Here's what they said specifically about card rewards. We've been discussing feedback around the lack of incentive for players to go flawless. We understand that some players have found the first few games to be more lucrative, which we'd love to shift to later games. Early card token farming, as some would call it, is something that we are very interested in solving. We want to make sure that every Destiny player who wants to play Trials has something to show for it at the end of the weekend. Now, that is definitely something I did encounter playing Trials. Like, the first two games are super sweaty, and then after that, it seems to sort of lighten up. And when you realize there's the token system for Trials, like if you're going for that perfect rolled shotgun or you're trying to get a coveted drop, right now you just farm the first two and you get tokens. To me, just make it so that it's sort of like a cumulative thing where you can't turn in your tokens till you've gone flawless, and then like you have to do it again maybe. Or no.
I think
I don't have an answer to that. I think I think the main thing, Travis, is that they have it's the bounties. The bounties are kind of screwing everything up, right?
Yeah, that's and part of it.
Just turn them off.
Season of the Worthy 101, bounties screwing up everything.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, so maybe if they just turn those off.
Yeah, I think there's something to do with the bounties for sure, but I think also maybe incentivizing people who continue to play on cards after they go flawless, or winning seven matches, because that's where it should be the sweatiest, right? Is the people who already have their cards completed and are continuing to play. If you could get like 10 tokens, 15 tokens by winning one of those matches, I think it would push all of the sweatier players to that bracket, just because they're, going to win a few of those and get a lot more tokens than just doing the first few matches.
Yeah, they said, additionally, we've seen feedback that the flawless chess isn't comparable the rewards associated with grinding out Nightfalls. This is something that we'd love to improve upon. There are quite a few ways we could approach this, and we're currently discussing what would be best for Trials in the long run. I do appreciate their frankness with this. They have identified all these issues, and they're looking at ways to do it, and I think that goes a lot further than just saying, we're listening, we're looking into it. They're like, we're collecting information. Here's the information we've collected this far. Here's what we're doing with it. So,
yeah, I think that if they could throw in some like upgrade materials like you get in Nightfall, like those shards and the whatever those ascendant items are called.
Shards and prisms.
Prisms, shards. Yeah, there's so much terminology.
Yeah, because
you
get the armor and weapons, to your point. It would be great to get the additional materials for infusion.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay, so some of the other stuff specifically about anti-cheat. Brian, before we move on to that, did you have anything else you wanted to say about the topic we've been discussing? The cards?
Yes. So there's just, it's just kind of an annoyance in the TWAB that, when they're talking about card stuff, the very end of it, they say, there's quite a few ways we could approach this, and we're currently discussing what would be best for Trials in the long run.
Mm-hmm.
Trials was gone for 2 years.
You, they're not going to take away Trials again.
No. I'm not saying they're going to take away. My problem with that is that right now, they're internally discussing what's best for Trials in the long run, when they took away Trials 2 years ago in order to come up with all these great ways to make it better. And all this such, just to release it in the state as it kind of was when it was in Destiny 1, and now they're at a point where they're just having more problems, where they just want to figure out what's best for the mode when they had 2 years to do that. It just makes you wonder what was going on in the planning process and to get what we have here now.
Yeah. It's kind of weird that they didn't see this coming, to be honest, the issues that they have. Like, connections are one thing. Those are kind of hard to predict when it's in the wild, right? Cheaters are always going to do what they do, you know, try to cheat. But the reward system...
specific to rewards in the card.
Yeah. And the reward system, to me, is the biggest problem right now. And it seems like that's the most... the predictable issue that they could have had, right? Is what are the incentives to actually play this mode? So, I definitely understand your frustration.
That's it. You can move on.
Fair play. We've seen reports from players that have encountered cheaters in trials over the last few weekends. Again, we've seen a ton of clips about this. And they went into a little bit about how their anti-cheat and such works. Our anti-cheat is not visible by design, as some security products. However, we regularly detect and remove thousands of malicious accounts from the PvP ecosystem. So they're just saying, hey, we absolutely are tracking this, and we have removed a lot of accounts. On the front lines, we continue to implement new anti-cheat improvements during patch releases. We don't include these in the patch notes for obvious reasons, and are always investigating new approaches as cheat developers adapt to our latest tech. Many of the cheats you find in the wild already have detections and countermeasures deployed or in development, with work being done constantly to keep them updated against new threats. Because cheat developers don't stop, we know we have to keep working to improve these systems. Note, this is a tricky line to walk, as we don't want to punish any innocent players that may consistently have high stats due to extreme skill, game bugs, or game logic exploits, which Bungie considers our fault. Now, in the Division community right now, they just banned a bunch of people because this turret exploit where you can get on and off a turret repeatedly, and it just amplifies your damage. And they just like, hey, you're all banned for a week, and we're rolling back your accounts 2 weeks.
Terrible. They should not do that. It is not the fault of the community for finding an exploit and using it in game. If it's a developer created issue, you can't ban people for that. That's not okay.
And Bungie's philosophy, so just to clarify the stance on bugs from Bungie's perspective specifically, in the terms of service, if you glitch Riven with grenade launchers, if you push Atheon off of the edge of the cliff with grenades, or the Templar, or any of that stuff, that's all fine. It's when you're installing an application specifically to game the system or Warlock self-res, you're going to get banned in the world of Destiny. In Division 2, it's a little bit of a different ecosystem. And because of that, they made the decision to roll back those accounts and ban players. And right now, the Division 2 community is basically on fire. So this is Bungie saying... I think this is Bungie's response. I don't think they're throwing shade. That's what the Reddit community said. I think they're just saying we have a different philosophy than what the division community managers and division developers have. And personally, I think Bungie's philosophy is the better one to have. And I think
it's the only one to have.
Yeah, I think the Division 1 is really detrimental to their business model. You just banned a bunch of people that like your game so much that they... like, okay, some people like to use in-game exploits to get a power boost and then raffle stomp on enemies.
Everybody now, does.
There's a difference between cheesing and cheating, right?
Yeah. If they took that in the PvP, I think that's a different case. Yes, you can punish those people. And if they're able to roll back accounts, they're probably able to just take away the rules. Like, it would be best if they could just say, hey, you're banned for a week and we're taking away the things you got from cheesing. Maybe. I don't know. I don't have the answer for what Division could do. I don't think it was handled properly.
Fix the problem.
That for sure.
They created it.
So that's what Bungie is saying. I did like an 11-minute sort of ranty video over on my personal channel. Subtle plug. But anyway, about that topic, I want to keep this about Destiny because I could just go off on the differences in philosophy.
Yeah.
TLDR, I think Bungie handles this incredibly well. You don't have to have any fear of getting busted for cheesing Riven, for example. And as players, some players are like, well, oh, I have to cheese Riven now because nobody will do the game legitimate with me, do the encounter legitimately with me. I don't think that's a game problem. I think that's a decision your group came to. And if you can't convince your group to do it legitimately, maybe you need to find a group that is willing to do it legitimately, because on the LFG, there are absolutely people that would take you through it and do it the legitimate way.
It is also a game problem at the same time, though, because cheesing Riven and doing all these damage glitches have been around since Riven came out, and Bungie kind of, I don't want to say refuses to fix those problems. They kind of just without saying it, give our blessing to do those things.
That's because
they don't fix them. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and because they don't fix them, they're just kind of just giving us the okay and the blessing to do so. So people are going to do it because, like, they've done it so many times, and now the encounter just takes a long time, even if you're doing it very effectively. So people are just going to naturally go for what takes the least amount of time to get through it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If Destiny had the same approach that The Division has to cheating and cheesing, I guess they would just have to ban anyone who has ever equipped Telesta.
What was the glitch where you would switch out a piece of armor and then you would get this insane damage buff?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
In the world of Division, that would be a bannable offense, basically.
Which is terrible, because it's like...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's crazy.
That's a feature that was built into the game.
Yeah.
Whether Bungie realized it or not, that's just in the game.
Yeah, so I think the developers at Massive could look a lot closer at what Bungie has been doing and you know, consider that for their sandbox. Pivoting really quickly to the Trials conversation, though, anybody who's glitching in Trials using some sort of software should absolutely be banned. Nobody is advocating for not banning those people.
No, that's the scum of the player base.
That is a PvP sandbox. Anybody who messes with the PvP sandbox, even those in Division who powered up and then went into PvP and utilized it there or the Dark Zone, I think that's a little bit of a different story to consider. Mm. But if you're killing a boss or something in the game, it's two different conversations, you know?
Yeah.
And there's a lot to get into with both of those. Sorry.
We've been cheesing since the loot cave.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's just part of like Destiny tradition to like find exploits.
I'm of mind to believe that Bungie may sometimes just put in cheeses and exploits on purpose and just to keep the narrative of it going, that, you know, we just like cheese forever.
Continuing on what Bungie's doing. I would love that, Brian, if that were true. they say, we are working with our platform partners to identify ways in which we can further strengthen our security. We are investigating ways in which we can let you know when your reports have resulted in a permanent ban or a temporary restriction. So that's where they're at with that. And I actually really like that last note. They're going to tell you, hey, we looked into that account. We issued a ban, or we didn't. Here's what we found. So I like that a lot. And then they go in the TWAB. If you want to know how to do this, the best ways to report somebody, which you should not be posting publicly, you should just send it to them, they said, because if that... Oh, my goodness. My neighbor downstairs just broke something. because if you... I totally lost my train of thought.
You shame them publicly.
Yeah.
You're talking about submitting the report.
Yeah. Don't shame them publicly. And then I really like this note. Also, I know that some of you may find the statement of we're listening to be a repetitive cliche of community management, but the first step towards taking action is to listen. We've been collecting your feedback and looking to fully understand the root of the perceived issues that are being discussed by players in the wild. Your voice is important to us and helps us as we walk the path to what's next in Destiny 2. We'll be sure to keep you updated on our plans as they become more concrete, and we thank you for your continued feedback on the game. And then they talk about stat trackers. Did you guys care about the stat trackers update at all? Because I didn't even consider it for the show today.
But, well, I don't care about the stat trackers.
I know you're into it, Brian.
No. It's not that I'm into it, and it's not that I care about the fact that they're fixing this. The problem is that we shouldn't have this problem in the first place. Yeah. We shouldn't have to have a TWAB where they're like, hey, we're fixing stat trackers and we're rolling it back to where you can get some of these back. It's like, it's not like we shouldn't be like thanking Bungie. We shouldn't be thanking them for this fix. Right? Well, this is just like, this is what you should have done in the first place. Or when you made this new system, you should, before implementing the new system, you should have figured out how to get all of these stats over to it. If not, don't create the new system if we have to lose all of these things.
Well, I will say, I don't think they're asking for thanks, but
no.
Take us through the history of what happened here so people have a little bit more
context. The history is that Bungie changed the way stats work, right? In the past, you have all these emblems, and most emblems in the games have some sort of stat tracking on them that you could that you couldn't change or turn off. One of the biggest asks throughout the history of Destiny 2 is that, hey, I want to be able to turn off stats, or probably a less one, be able to choose which stat to track on an emblem. And then with one of these recent updates with Season of Worthy is that they created an entire new stat system where it's not tied to emblems. It's tied to a system like Triumphs or Collections, basically, that you can choose which stat you want on an emblem. And now, in order to implement that system, they had to delete all of our stats prior to this recent season, and the community blew up on them because that was just insane.
Mm-hmm. And they're rolling it back. They're rolling back several of them.
So they're not rolling back all of it. They're rolling back some very important ones, I think, that it looks like, you know, like Forge completions and, you know, most recent Fractaline donations. But there's still going to be a lot missing that's still a problem.
Yeah, I think there is going to be a lot missing, but I actually care about this because I'm kind of a nerd. I like to show off how much, you know, my achievements, how much I've done, how many strikes, how many Crucible matches I've won, all that stuff. And I feel like taking this stuff away kind of hinders your ability to express yourself and what makes you special as a Guardian and your specific achievements. So, I'm really glad that they're bringing some of it back. I hope they continue to do it until they're all back in the game because... you know, some people put in a ridiculous amount of time to boost those specific stats. I mean, they really were dedicated to get there, and it sucks to see that taken away from them.
Also, don't get me wrong. Like, I think the new stat tracking system is better than what we had previously. Like, the actual functionality of it.
Being able to equip different stats
onto different emblems. My problem is that the way they went about it was just completely incorrect. Like, having to cut the tie in order to bring out something new and quote-unquote better isn't better if we're having to lose all of those stats before this season.
Yep. I don't really have much to say on it because I always thought, like, it was nice to see your stats and then they took it away and whatever. Yep. They also talked about what we have coming down the pipeline. By the way, I have the Season of the Worthy, like, roadmap open on my laptop right now. Who designed the order of this? It goes like down and then up. Dude. I'm like, why'd you lay it up that way?
It's a don't open dead inside kind of layout.
Yeah.
So it's Seraph Tower, Trials, Seraph Bunker, EDZ and Moon through the 24th. The next one is Seraph Bunker IO, and then Guardian Games, and then Grandmaster Ordeal. April 7th is the Seraph Bunker on IO. Guardian Games is April 21st to May 11th. And Grandmaster Ordeal is April 21st.
Also the 21st, yeah.
You get a new seal and endgame rewards for that. Guardian Games, class competition, new legendary armor. So might be some cool armor in the Guardian Games. And on the Seraph Bunker IO, they fixed those drops just in time for the last one to open, right?
And they're not pinnacle, so if you're above 1,000, like everyone, then it doesn't matter.
That's one of my biggest problems with the spacing out of this content, is like, oh yeah, the new bunker on IO is out, you can go do it, and you're like, why?
Yeah.
So I'm
plus 1,000 light, and nothing in the IO bunker can get me above that.
So that is true, but if you are making use of the seasonal mods, the Warmind mods, they're actually really good this season. They can make beast mode, and you can get new mode. You can get new mods at the IO bunker. We don't know what they are yet, but I think they're going to be the void mods. So that could be cool.
Mm-hmm. Looks like there was a hot fix yesterday. Fixed an issue where tribal size challenges were not being reset properly, causing some players to not receive rewards.
Look on Reddit. People are finding out already that they are still broken.
Okay. Fixed an issue where players were not getting the correct amount of planetary materials from bunker upgrades. You would get like one.
Yeah, now you get five.
Nice.
Whatever.
Hey, but it's daily. You don't have to do anything. That's cool.
Yeah, but you can get that many just by looking on the ground.
Does it pile up? Like the longer you
leave? I'm not sure.
Fixed an issue where Titan season pass arm ornaments would block first person view. All right. Fixed the season pass SMG and season pass SMG and shotgun will now create Warmind cells. Fixed an issue where Sentinel Titans were able to extend Sentinel shield barrier shield by suppressing themselves. Okay. Fixed an issue where Raiju's harness that allowed players to hold Whirlwind Guard indefinitely. All right. And that's it. That's like the main stuff. Largely, I really wanted to talk about Trials. I'm really glad that they're looking into it. Trials has been a lot of fun to run. I think CJ went flawless on Stadia.
Yeah, he did. In Trials. Actually, I hear that Stadia...
Wouldn't he play with one other person?
I hear Stadia has like 2-minute wait times to get into a Trials match. Yeah, but once you actually get in, the lobbies are just ridiculous. Like, no skill whatsoever. You can just like stomp on these guys, which sounds hilarious to me.
Really? So,
that's probably why you did it.
I've thought about doing it. Yeah,
definitely. You gotta feel like you gotta feel like you have skill somewhere.
CJ, you went flawless.
Flawless. Yeah.
Good job, man. No, he knows he's a very good player.
He just showed up and they gave him the triumph.
He's not as good as me, but he's okay. but Destin, yeah. if you want to get on Stadia, I'm down to try.
I gotta see if I'm willing to wait 20 minutes
per match.
I gotta see if I still have the account linked, because back when we did the Stadia shoot, they like gave me an account, so I'm linked to that one still the same way Brian was.
I was, but then I still think Bungie doesn't know about the bug that if you link your Stadia, link your account to Stadia, it glitches your Destiny 1 and you cannot log into Destiny 1. So I had to unlink. I had to unlink it from Stadia, but now I can't use cross save another like 60 more days.
Oh wow.
You guys know what? I know we're over on time and that I'm supposed to be in a meeting, but I want the show to be longer this week because last week it was like 20 minutes, I think.
That was just because there was nothing going on that week. That's not our fault. I mean, we're just like, there's not a whole lot to talk about.
Yeah. Let's take a look a little bit deeper at Gambit. That's what we said we were going to discuss and its flaws and why we think it definitely needs to be revisited. Travis, you put this in the run of show. I assume you've been playing a lot of Gambit. What are your immediate takeaways and challenges with the mode, and how do you think Bungie could improve it right now?
Okay, so this is like a pretty long laundry. We could talk about hours. I have so many thoughts about this, but I think Brian actually has been talking about this for about 2 seasons, maybe 3 seasons so far, which is that match made activities that have mechanics don't tend to do very well. And Gambit is kind of the ultimate match made activity that really requires teamwork and cooperation and everybody sort of being on top of their stuff. And especially if you're playing Gambit Prime, you have to have roles, I mean, to really play well. And pretty much no one does that. If you hop into Gambit match made, and if you're in Prime, no one's wearing the Gambit armor. No, you know, the ones that give you certain roles in Gambit Prime, nobody really is like being the invader or being the collector or blocking sentinels. It's just a very confusing mode with lots of roles, and it feels like the pool of players playing it aren't really good at working together or knowing what to do. And that's especially true of match made. And God forbid you go up against a team where it's a full stack and they know what they're doing, then you have no chance on a match made team.
Well, just so people know, in order to get the coveted sets, you need to, you know, go into Reckoning, of course. Yes. You know, everybody's favorite mode, Reckoning. You need to do the hardest challenge of that. And then maybe you will get the armor piece that you need at the end. And then you can do some really interesting things in Gambit. Yeah. So honestly, one very simple thing that they could do to sort of even it out for the players who do love Gambit, put that armor as a drop chance in the Gambit loot pool.
I think maybe even just cut your losses and get rid of the armor as a necessity for the role in Gambit, other games you can choose what role you want to play in a match. You can choose, like, if you're playing like something like you know, like Overwatch or something, you can choose a healer or a tank or a support character. So in Gambit, you can just set it up in a way where it's not reliant on armor. It's reliant on somebody choosing a specific skill set and class, and everybody can just choose what type of role they want to play in Gambit going in, and then you just have those specific buffs, and it's not reliant on whether or not you played 30 hours of Reckoning to get the aura in there.
Yeah. There's also some really good weapons that are kind of locked behind doing Reckoning. Spare rations, actually.
Spare rations.
It's something you kind of have to do. you have to do the Oryx Reckoning or just play a ton of Gambit and hope you get lucky.
I was thinking Bygones as a Gambit drop. I didn't know you were going to go over to Reckoning, but you're absolutely right. Spare Rations is a coveted drop there. And I think there's a mod that you can only get from Reckoning, too, if I remember right.
You might be. Yeah, that mode has a surprisingly large amount of unique drops, considering how few unique drops are in newer game modes, like the most recent dungeon has no unique drops. There's really no reason to do it beyond the first time you run it, except for Pinnacle. That's the reason you do it. So that's the first thing, is like the amount of teamwork and how confusing the match is. When Gambit first came out, I feel like everyone was in a party, or it was a lot more common to see like a 4-stack or 3-stack. Now it never happens. I can never convince my friends to play with me. I never see teams that know what they're doing in Reckoning. In Gambit. It's kind of ridiculous. And the game mode just feels like it really needs help in terms of explaining to its audience how it works.
It's not even that, too. It's just like it's stale.
Yeah.
It hasn't changed at all.
New maps.
Season of the Drifter, there's been nothing since then. Like, what? Yeah. There's nothing. You know, so it's like, why are we still playing this mode? Like, there's been no refresh to it at all.
Yeah. I kind of agree.
You're not even really rewarded because there's no Pinnacle drops. There's powerful drops, but again, if you're 1,000, like I'm not, because I finished the season bounty, which by the way is a grind fest and not a fun one. But I finished it.
I really loved Gambit when it came out at first. I think it was a lot of fun.
I think everybody did. I just think there was not enough like love put into Bungie to continue for people to keep playing it.
They did address this a while back, and they said basically that they have to pick one of the modes. And with everything that changed after separating from Activision, I think it just got put on the back burner. So I don't think they're going to be touching Gambit for a year or longer, or if ever. I think this might just be one of those modes that are just kind of left on the back burner, and because we haven't heard about anything for so long, and they have other things that they're probably developing. We have, like, on the timetable, it's looking like May we're going to get the next season, right? Am I right on that?
June.
Yeah, June.
Yeah, so this, it looks like we have something through May 11th. So yeah, we would get the next season in June. And I don't think that's going to be Gambit themed. And if it is, God help you, Bungie. Yeah.
I doubt it'll be Gambit themed, but it's all going to be about whatever they're alluding to from this season. And then it'll be the Age of Triumph or Solstice of Heroes stuff. Mm-hmm. So I doubt we'll see anything Gambit during summer.
All right. I did like Gambit. I think it could use a little bit of TLC. And I think...
A lot.
Do you guys have any like suggestions of just some simple things that they could do to sort of improve that experience? I liked your suggestion of having loadouts or something, Brian.
Yeah, it's just role. That's my biggest one, is just like the roles need a huge overhaul. And I don't think they need to be reliant on the armor you have. It could just be offloaded into a class-based system that is chosen pre-match. But the roles, like, there's only two roles that matter in game right now. It's invaders and reapers. And they just, if they're going to keep collectors and sentries, they need to do something that invigorates people wanting to play those classes, other than hoarding 20 motes until you can summon a big guy, assuming you don't die by an invader while you have 18 motes.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I've played a few team stacks where they actually really well pop that that 20 guy, and then we just melt him instantly. I think it's just teams that don't address the problem of the big guy right away. They run into some difficult situations, but if you got a trench barrel shotgun, they melt pretty quickly, even with the stomp mechanic.
they could even do something to help invigorate, specifically the collector classes. Like maybe, just an example of ways you can kind of revamp it is maybe like the more motes you have, the more resilience you have. So like the better your chances are surviving against an invader if you have 19 motes. You could contest them because you have so many motes. Stuff like that. I don't know. They just need to look into other alternatives to make those to give more incentive to use those classes, those roles.
And Travis, what were you going to say before?
Yeah, I was also going to say that, like, I think there needs to be some balance in terms of invading. Invading is kind of, like, really weird right now. Like, there's teams that just don't invade at all and just kind of deal with the invaders that happen. And if you have, like, Xenophage or something like that, you can deal with invaders pretty easily. You can snipe them as soon as they enter because you know exactly where they're going to spawn most times, depending on what type of the map, part of the map you're on. And there's a few weapons that define the meta in a really weird way. Like if you have 1,000 voices, like I do when I'm invading, it's like really easy to wipe the whole team and get army of one, like 4 times in one match. But there's also no risk in invading, which I've always thought was weird. I feel like they should have, you know, if you die while invading, that should also heal your team's primeval. You know what I mean? Like there should be some risk to doing it because there's really no reason not to, right? It's just kind of like mindless fun. Dude, I could go on forever. The bosses die too quickly in regular Gambit as opposed to Gambit Prime because there's no shield that comes back on like in Gambit Prime, so people just melt it 4 seconds after it spawns.
Bungie, there's a bunch of problems. They're gonna now that you said that, they're gonna put Grandmaster Gambit, and it's gonna be raid bosses, and then they're gonna turn off PvE normalization.
They have super stomp mechanics.
Yeah. And of course, you'll be with matchmade teams trying to figure that out.
Oh God, no! If they did a Grandmaster Gambit where they took off normalized PVE, I think they would have to make it a non-matchmade. They would have to lock the fire. You wouldn't be able to do a matchmade activity with that.
I agree.
I'll be honest with you guys. So here's my take on the whole Gambit situation. I think the next time you're looking to remove something from the game, like you need that space that you've talked about, get rid of one of the Gambit modes, period. I don't think it needs to be tweaked. I think it sort of had its heyday. And unless you're really going to double down and dedicate a team to totally revamping what that mode is, they sort of alluded to that they were going to do that. I don't know if that's going to happen. I think we're going to see subtle tweaks. I think you just remove one of the modes entirely. That'll get more players in one mode as opposed to one mode or the other, because currently the player base is fractured, and I think we'll get a little bit better of a community loop pool.
So here's a question. Which mode should they remove? Just your guys' opinion.
Regular Gambit.
Me too.
Yeah, they did this survey, actually, and most people like Gambit Prime more. I actually hate Gambit Prime. Because you clear the ads in the first wave, right? And then it just becomes an invasion fest. So it's constantly like, you heal the primeval, they heal the primeval. And it just goes on. I feel like that section of Prime goes on entirely too long. So if they can address that problem with Prime and eliminate the original mode, then yes. And also, like, a lot of the bounties are tied to killing X amount of things. And in Gambit Prime, when you get to that second phase, just nothing else spawns. So they can't overwhelm you because everything's so powerful in that final phase and you're getting invaded. So I think if you were to eliminate the original Gambit, which I do like more specifically for bounty progression, figure out how to implement some better systems in Gambit Prime, really, really refine it and make it better, then I think you're going to be in a pretty sweet spot with Gambit, or as sweet as it can be given what that mode is currently. And that's my take on it. So I had an idea for what we could talk about next week if we need a topic. Strikes. Let's talk about strikes. Let's talk about why we're not enjoying them. And especially with the new, what's it called? Grandmaster Ordeals coming right around the corner. Mm-hmm. I think it'll be a good topic for next week to discuss.
Sure.
That's all I have for this episode, guys. Is there anything else you wanted to talk about before we sign off?
Nope.
Who's going flawless this weekend?
I will.
Too.
Nice. Brian Hyatt's. All right. Well, as always, thank you both for joining us, and thank you all for watching. Until next time, everybody, Guardians out. I tried to time it a little better this time. Bye.
'Stranger, I'd like to introduce you to something new, or perhaps something very, very old. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine is a horror fantasy medical mystery following the titular monk turned traveling medical investigator. Follow Radolf as he navigates a nightmare world in which viruses are gods and the human race are not their favored children. Steeped in history and an aesthetic that can only be described as a combination of occult academia and laboratory Judaica, The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine have been described as Umberto Eco meets H.P. Lovecraft. For more information, check out the Patreon at thorb.info. But take care, dear stranger, for some truths are best left unknown.